The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. My name is Lee Phelps. This is The Punt. This is the 14th edition of The Punt over Christmas that we've done. Derek McGovern's here as well. Derek, I think you're making up for the time that you weren't with us with all these Christmas Christmas podcasts.
I'm surprised you say it's only 14. It seems like more than that.
I've got no idea. I was watching Match of the Day this morning, you know, because I hadn't had chance to watch all of it. When was the last? Okay, last night, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I don't even know where I am. I don't know who these teams are, when they played. Who's this Diego Costa bloke? I've just gone completely weird.
I don't know if I'm watching a proper match today, or it's like a rerun of a couple of days ago.
It could be any, couldn't it? It's just a mishmash.
Oh, dear.
One thing that is interesting, I mean, I think this happens every year and we just kind of forget. I think maybe last year was a little bit easier than it is this year, but it's interesting how the managers come out. And, you know, a lot of them have moaned, but Louis van Gaal has kind of come out with scientific proof that, you know, the human body cannot recover adequately enough in 48 hours to then go and play sport again. I'm not sure that's true. I think it probably can, because what about all these other sportsmen and women who have to back up and back up, like in Olympic Games when you have to do you're a 1500 meter runner and you run your semi-final and you run another heat and another heat 100 meters.
Well,
surely
tennis,
you can recover.
Tennis players
tennis.
Are the ones, aren't
tennis.
They?
Tennis, that's harder than footy, isn't it?
5 hour semi-final they could play and then the next day they're playing in the final.
Yeah.
And that's 5 hours.
I mean, he's talking absolute guff there, isn't he?
I mean, I go out for a night out and I can still get out the next night.
Can you? I can't. I used to be able to.
Only last week I was out 7 nights running. Shows you how fit I am.
You've got stamina there. We're going to look at the three TV matches on New Year's Day, and then we'll look through all the rest of the fixtures. Let's start off with Stoke versus Manchester United. This one kicks off at 12:45. Stoke are priced up at 3-1. The draw is 23-10, and Manchester United are 19-20. We doubted whether they should have been the price they were against Tottenham, and that was the game that Louis van Gaal complained about, of course. He said they were just, I think, pretty much like lifeless in the second half. We don't see it getting much easier, do you? Stoke have had a really nice couple of days. Boxing Day, they won 1-0 at Everton, and then on Sunday, they won 2-0 against West Brom. Back-to-back clean sheets will probably be almost as pleasing to Mark Hughes as the 6 points they've accumulated. That's only their second clean sheet at home this season in the Premier League, Derek Stoke. I think they got a clean sheet early on against, I think it was Newcastle early on in the season. But since then, they've been shipping goals left, right and centre.
See, I honestly don't understand why United are odds on. If United were called anything else, you know, they wouldn't be odds on in this game. Well, maybe if they were called Chelsea or City. But, you know, I just don't see it. We mentioned on the bulletin for the other day that they shouldn't be odds on or, you know, sure prices away from home, because their away form stinks to high heaven. And I'm looking at them, and yeah, people keep going on about, wow, look at the embarrassments of riches up front, you know, the Rooneys, the Van Persies, and they keep mentioning this Falcao, who seems to be the worst buy since that soap on a rope I got for Christmas. I mean, what has he done? He just looks out of his depth at the moment. I mean, obviously he was a top-class player, but the injuries have had an awful, taken an awful toll on him, because he just looks bereft of anything. So I'm not having it for Man United. And Stoke are looking a very, very tidy Premier League side. And 3-1, given the form they're in. And I've seen nothing from United to be scared of. I think it's a cracking bet, I really do.
It does look decent. I mean, Stoke have been accused in the past, haven't they, of being one of those teams who just kind of roll over against the bigger sides. And Mark Hughes, you know, I immediately think, does he have much luck against, you know, against the bigger clubs and against the? But I mean, they won at home last year. You know, they won. I think it was this maybe early February. They won in 2014, 2-1. I mean, Man U have, you know, beaten them most other times, to be fair. But I always wonder, once you've got that off your back, I wonder if you can back it up. And the way they played, and that the home form's starting to look a little bit better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stokes. The thing that gets me is that, As good as Van Gaal is in front of the press, I think he gives his players excuses a little bit. You know, remember, you know, we've said before, I think Robbie said this and Ron used to say it, that, you know, if you give the players excuses, it might just mean they can drop off a percentage, and that's enough in a Premier League game to not be obviously at your best and for a team to beat you. Well, I mean, he's not only said he's been complaining about the away form, it not being that good, he's now giving them an excuse that they're tired, and he hasn't got a lot of, you know, reinforcements to come in, has he? So,
no.
You can't imagine Stoke, you know, being anything other than up for this, can you?
Exactly. I mean, two great wins, and there's no mention from Mark Hughes about, you know, with midwinter break and blah, blah, blah. It's just everything points to a home win for this one. Yeah, and they're playing well as well, Stoke. You're looking, you know... Man United used to beat Stoke on a regular basis under Fergie, but you used to remember most of those games. They were always on the telly, and Stoke would only have a good account of themselves, and then they'd lose to an 86-minute Ronaldo goal. That was generally what happened, because I'd always backed them. But, you know, there's no Ronaldo, no Fergie. There's not much left in United, really. I mean, they're in third place, is it, or fourth, wherever they are, because the Premier League stinks to high heaven this season. I just can't see how their odds on.
Yeah, and you know that record away from home still stands with Man United. We said it before the last set of games that they're still only won the two games away from home all season against Arsenal and Southampton, which on the face of it looked very good results, but obviously they were outplayed in large parts by Arsenal. Drew with Villa, drew with Tottenham. And Stoke beating Arsenal and beating West Brom, lost to Chelsea in the last three. One player who, you know, it's no big surprise, but we mentioned him before the game at the weekend. Bojan he looks fantastic still, doesn't he? I mean, he was, you know, he had another really good effort on goal in the win over West Brom. 13-5 to score any time here. Could get a little bit of space as well in front of the Man United defence, so might well be worth a look on that one there. All the Man United prices are fairly short. Van Persie 11-10, Rooney 5-4. Falcao 7-5. It's not till you get to the other players around midfielders and defenders that they start to look more favourable. But you're going for a Stoke win there, Eric.
Yeah, it's all you need. You don't look when it's 3-1. You don't need to look for anything else, do you?
No, I think that's a fair bet. I'll be cautious, Colin, and go Stoke plus a goal just in case.
Hey.
4-5 the price there. Man City versus Sunderland next. Man City are 1-4. The draw 4-1. Sunderland 14-1. Sunderland recording yet another away clean sheet. That's four successive clean sheets away from home now at Leicester, at Liverpool, at Newcastle and at Aston Villa. Admittedly, none of those are of the calibre of Manchester City. And they've also kept a clean sheet at Burnley this season and at Birmingham in the League Cup. So they know how to keep it tight. I suppose we need to talk about City first of all, though, Derek. We said before the Sunday fixtures that we previewed, you know, we spoke about them sometimes struggling to break teams down. But one of the other things, you know, in that snowy game that when we talked about the West Brom game, where they seemed to just give up in the second half. And I said, like, maybe they were, no, it wasn't Burnley. It was West Brom.
Yeah, West Brom.
And they, you know, West Brom, if it hadn't been three up, you know, they might have been more panicked. There was no snow, but the same thing happened, didn't it? They seemed to have thought the job was done at half time. And I mean, even the crowd, when I only watched the highlights, but when they came out for the second half, the crowd was flat, the players seemed flat. But Burnley weren't, and they caught them cold, got the goal, and then from then on it looked like, you know, Man City couldn't really get out of second gear, whatever they were in.
Well, exactly, and, you know, the manager, Pellegrini, goes on about whether it was complacency that cost us. Well, you know, that's the professional footballers, they should know all about the dangers of that, and they've had the warnings in the past, yet you mentioned the West Brom. What about that game in Europe, the CSKA Moscow game,
exactly.
2-0 up at half time?
Same thing.
Exactly, and, you know, it's going to come back and bite them, isn't it? I said they were a bit, you know, 1-6 they were at the weekend to beat Burnley, and when they were 2-0 up, God knows what price he must have been then, 1-100, I'd imagine. I saw them 2-0 up, and I didn't even bother with that game anymore. I had other things to do, and when I saw the full-time result, I could not believe it.
No, one predicted that. I've not seen a single person say Burnley had a chance in that game.
No, I know. I know. Since I watched the highlights, and they looked full value for the draw, Burnley, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I really don't know what to think here. I mean, I haven't been chinned on a 1-6 poke. I'm not going to go to the wall with a 1-4 poke as well now. It's just Sunderland's defensive. We said that Sunderland Villa had 0-0 written all over it, and sure enough, it finished 0-0. And they have got a record of keeping it tight. City still without the Agüeros. I mean, when they're playing James Milner as their lead striker, something's not quite right, is it?
He gives you plenty, doesn't he? I mean, to be fair to him, he's doing a decent job, but he's not a centre forward, is he?
No, he isn't.
He'd been playing there all his career if he was a finisher, wouldn't he? Not everywhere else on the pitch where they didn't have someone.
Exactly.
He's just a utility player, isn't he, really?
Yeah. Well, under 2.5 goals, I'm looking at Lee here. 6-4. I mean, you could see maybe City struggling to break them down, and then maybe Torre scoring in the 75th minute if he's back. I don't know why you missed the weekend game. I'll go for that. I can't. I just can't be touching City after burning your fingers at 1-6.
I think he was a bit of a doubt and they just rested him, basically, Torre. I think it's worth, as we're recording this on Monday ahead of New Year's Day, it's worth checking team news on all these matches, because obviously, you know, because of the quick succession of matches, I think the team news is just dripping out. I was going to put that forward, actually, Derek, to you about, you know, the, you know, I've said this a few times before, but when Man City face a team who are going to defend and going to stay solid behind the ball and not really have much ambition, then it has taken them until the second half to break them down. Palace is a good example, scored in the 49th minute and beat them 3-0. Everton, they beat them 1-0, but Everton were pretty dogged for most of that game. Man United as well, you know, they didn't go out and attack Man City. It took them until just after the hour mark, and Man United had 10 men for 15 minutes of the or about 10 minutes of the first half. Chelsea as well, only 1-1. And Chelsea kind of sat behind the ball a lot. So there are examples. So if you think Sunderland can do a job and keep it tight for at least a half, maybe the half-time draw, full-time Man City might be worth a little look. 16-5 the price for that. I suppose you run the danger of Sunderland doing a Stoke and nicking the goal themselves and still keeping it tight. But
yeah, you can get Sunderland over the draw at 5-4 in the first half.
Yeah,
that looks a way to play, doesn't it?
14-1. Do you know? You know, we said that the price for Burnley was 18-1. It was the biggest of the season and the biggest for quite a while. Do you think it's worth? I mean, when you see a price that size in the Premier League now, Derek, is it worth just playing the plus one? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, or even, because it's rare you're going to get a win. To be fair, is it worth just playing that, or even the draw no bet? You know, just to play it and just to have it on your side, because with a price like, I mean, at 14-1, the plus one 16-5, which seems a big drop.
Yeah.
To be fair, the draw no bet is 9-1, so the Burnley draw no bet would have been double figures anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know no one likes just getting the money back, but at least you're in with a run. It just strikes me that in the Premier League now, because we said that 1-6 should go in every acca, didn't we? And everyone thought it should. I just wonder what your thoughts are on big prices when it's approaching 20-1.
Yeah, well, plus one, I always think the plus one is a decent way. What I look for in a game is if a team is underpriced, and I think, well, how am I going to oppose them? You know, for instance, Man United were underpriced at Tottenham at the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I went for Tottenham when really that would have been a plus one game written all over it.
Yeah.
But in a game like this, I'm a bit reticent because City could conceivably win in a cakewalk,
couldn't they?
And then you think, oh Jesus, that was a silly bet. You know, whereas at Man United were never going to steamroller Tottenham. You know, that was never going to come back and bite you. So yeah, in its place, that is a great tactic. I'm not sure if this is the case in this one.
No, maybe not. The other way to play, of course, is the match result and both teams to score. Man City to win and both teams to score 15-8, which obviously is quite a big difference between 1-4. And 15-8. And Sunderland are 10-11 to score over 0.5 goals. So, you know, I think that's not a bad bet. If you think Sunderland can get a goal, which they do struggle to be fair. Let's have a look at the final TV game, which is Tottenham versus Chelsea. 7-2 Spurs. The draw's 23-10. And Chelsea are 17-20. Chelsea came a cropper, if you can call it a draw, at Southampton, coming a cropper. Obviously, Mourinho has been up in arms about the treatment of his poor old team. I'd love someone to do some research and find out how many dodgy penalties they've actually got, though. 1-1 draw at Southampton, still top of the table by 3 points from Man City, because they couldn't take advantage, of course. Neither could Man U. Tottenham were involved in that 0-0 draw with Manchester United. They don't usually fare too well against the bigger teams at Tottenham. Obviously they lost 2-0 as well just before Christmas, didn't they, to Chelsea. That's their only defeat, actually, that Chelsea defeat in the league for quite a while now. Do you expect Chelsea to bounce back and do another job on Tottenham?
I was watching Chelsea at the weekend, and you know, Graeme Souness, I mean, we had Gary Neville prattling on about how, you know, fantastic they're playing, and Southampton, and we're at the wit's end trying to hold them back at bay. And then Graeme Souness put into perspective, what did Chelsea do? Had the ball for, an hour and a half, but didn't really do anything with it. And what am I telling you about this Costa? Doesn't he look ponderous?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I agree with how, you know, he's as bad as all that, but I do think that you're going to score goals if you're in great teams.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're going to, if you keep getting the ball laid up to you, you're going to score, aren't you?
Well, tell Fernando Torres that.
Yeah, true enough, yeah.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is that if you take, I watched that game, anything that Chelsea did came from Hazard.
Yeah,
I mean, he is a sensational player. He is everything a footballer should be. Now, if you stop him, which is, you know, it's a big if, I know, I'm not seeing that much of a threat from Chelsea. I'm really not. I was really disappointed with them at the weekend. Mm. Now, Tottenham weren't much better, especially in the first half against United at the weekend. But the 7-2 at home, and you know, this is a side with real possibilities of finishing in the top four against a Chelsea side that aren't firing right now. You've got, you know, manager moaning. I think Tottenham could surprise them here. I think there's a bit of value with Tottenham. 7-2 just strikes me as too big. Chelsea just are not impressing me at the moment.
No, they seem. It's funny, isn't it? Because the Stoke game and the Southampton game weren't overly dissimilar. But everyone lauded Chelsea for their performance against Stoke because they controlled the game and got the goals. If they don't get the goals out, they do just look a bit like they're not really trying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that? That controlling can work two ways, can't it? Because they're not actually doing an awful lot with the ball. You know, if you look at the actual shots on target in the match, you know, it's not like there was... I mean, Chelsea had one shot on target and that was the goal. They only had three other shots in the match that went wide. So four shots in 90 minutes.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, it's not like they're tearing it up, is it?
No.
So, you know, it's just... My doubt is whether Tottenham can do as good a defensive and disciplined job as Southampton did. And that's... I wonder about that.
Well, they won't...
A bit lily-livered, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Lily White.
Well, and they're at home as well, and, you know, they'll have to sort of go for it. But I don't think Tottenham deserve to be as long as 7-2.
No, I know what you mean.
It's, this is a far from vintage Chelsea side. I know we keep saying, they haven't got a weakness. And, yeah, they're solid, aren't they? They're solid. But the stardust isn't there without Hazard. And he's been at it all the time, hasn't he, recently? You know, maybe, you know, fatigue will get to him sooner or later. No, I'm just not having this. I think the odds are wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the draw here, I think, at 23-10. I think having seen both teams, who, you know, both looking a little bit jaded as well, I think it might be in for a bit of a repeat performance for the Man United game, especially if Chelsea aren't really having that many shots on goal. Good keeper, of course, for Tottenham and all the rest of it. So I'll go for the draw at 23-10. Let's have a look at the non-televised games. These are all 3 p.m. kickoffs. We'll go down the list as they are on the William Hill website. QPR versus Swansea, first of all. 2-1, the price for QPR. It's 6-4, Swansea. And the draw is also priced up at 2-1. Swansea are playing tonight, as we record this, against Liverpool at Anfield. QPR didn't continue that great home form. They only managed to draw against Crystal Palace, who we'll come on to in a bit when we preview their game and their management situation. You know, still look lively, QPR, and still confident at home, Derek. Obviously, we don't know the result of Swansea, but generally away from home, ahead of the Liverpool match, they haven't been doing particularly well and don't score many goals. Will QPR just outscore Swansea here, or can they outscore them here?
Well, it's QPR at home, and I don't easily go against them. What I find most interesting in the build-up to this is, did you see Swansea manager Gary Monk's words about Jonjoe Shelvey today?
No, I haven't seen that.
He was saying, you know, there's no excuse for laziness. He was really, I've never known a manager coat a player off so bad. Really, I mean, you've got a point, because, you know, when Shelvey got married, apparently, his mum said, "I'm not losing a son, I'm gaining a couch." That was, you know, I mean, I've never noticed it in the past, to be honest.
Well, to be honest with you, maybe it's just me being, you know, just, you know, being being lazy about it. But whenever I've seen him, I would have thought, he's an industrious player.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
that's one of his strengths.
I know. I mean, there's no excuse for laziness, we know that. But if you find one, Lee, can you let me know? Swansea again, isn't it? I hate them. God.
No.
It's QPR at home, and they don't roll over for anybody. Swansea, I know well, beat us. I mean, the prices were probably short if Swansea had beaten Liverpool on Monday night. I mean, I was back in Swansea at Liverpool because they were 4-1. I mean, what are they now, 6-4?
Yeah.
You know, it's no, I couldn't have that. I'm going to go for QPR because, yeah, useless though they are on the road, Rangers, they're different class at Loftus Road, and they're only playing a side that, definitely beatable, aren't they, Swansea? 2-1 for me, QPR.
Yeah, same for me, actually. I think, QPR have got results against some decent sides. You know, 2-2 draw with Man City, of course, and lost narrowly and unluckily against Liverpool at home. And you know, it's got a great record. And Swansea, you know, you can't get away from the fact that they've only had two wins away from home. That one against Man United in the opening weekend, and the one against Hull, which, you know, everyone's beating Hull, to be fair, at the moment. So, I'm going 2-1 QPR as well here. I think also with the prices that are available, because they're a bigger price at QPR at 2-1, I think it gives you a little way in on Charlie Austin, 11-8 to score a goal in the match. I think it could be quite an open game as well, this one. So, Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win, by the way, is 4-1. Boney to score and Swansea to win, priced up at 3-1. Newcastle versus Burnley next, 7-10. The Geordies, 12-5 the draw, and 9-2 Burnley. Go and pick a result from Newcastle. Just when you think they're bottoming out, they go and stick three past Everton, win the game 3-2, and everything looks rosy again. Then the manager doesn't come out for the post-match press conference, and he's odds on to take the Crystal Palace job.
Don't understand it at all.
What's going on there? Yeah. I mean, the broadsheets are full of it this morning, aren't they? That is it going in for talks with them? It's a strange old situation, isn't it? I mean, I know he's obviously got an affiliation with Palace, isn't it? You know, so it's not that big a surprise. But and he's 2-7 with Hills as we record this, Derek, to be the next Crystal Palace manager.
Well, when Warnock went from Palace and the odds came up and I saw Pardew one of the favourites, I thought, well, why would he do that? I mean, I know he's not popular in the northeast, but why would you leave Newcastle, where, you know, he's been under fire all season and he had the terrible run of results and didn't get sacked. It seems his job is safe there.
The ninth, aren't they?
Yeah, to take over a Palace side who look like they're going down. I don't understand it.
10 points inferior to Newcastle at the moment, aren't they?
Well, yeah. So, but the odds are 2-7. You know, they tell you something, don't they? It sounds as though there's no smoke without fire there. I really don't understand it, but I'm sure Newcastle fans will be delighted. I'm not sure Crystal Palace fans will be. Where is manager markets? Has anybody ever called one of them right?
It's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, you say that, 2-7, it must be right. We've seen it time and time again, Derek, where the 2-7 is suddenly 7-2 or 2-1, whatever, the next day, and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw someone on Twitter the other day, Derek, saying Vitor Pereira has just boarded a plane, Lisbon to London. This is like eyewitness account.
Yeah.
14-1 still. No sign of that plane landing or what happened. 14-1 for Pereira. So if you like Twitter rumours, then...
Never ever bet on the strength of them. Jeez, I start most of them. Well, I mean, I watched that Newcastle-Everton game and I have to say, I thought it was too moderate, bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It really, you know, barely, dear me. I mean, that result at City is just, you know, the shock of the season. Well, you know, at the start, you'd have said that and went certainly when they were 2-0 down. And even against Liverpool when they lost on, what was it, Boxing Day, you know, they were a better side that day. Mm. I'm gonna have to go for Burnley here, you know.
Yeah.
I just can't have Newcastle or odds on.
They're really open though, aren't they, Derek? That's the thing about them, is that they play a high pressing game, which means if they don't quite get the ball, then the opposition will attack them. But they're perfectly willing to attack. I mean, I thought Barnes was sensational again.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're not going to be like that all season long, but as a target man, I mean, they just clip the ball into the middle of the park. He'd win every header, nod it down, and they're on the attack. It seems so simple. It was a bit like, you know, it was a bit like kind of old-fashioned football, but boy, did it work.
Yeah, he did. He's done really well. 2 corking goals in the last few weeks as well. I mean, you know, you're going to do the cautious Colin and go for Burnley plus a goal here, aren't you? 23-20.
I'm not that predictable.
I mean, this is like that match I told you about Tottenham Man United at the weekend. You know that one team is underpriced. It was Newcastle are underpriced here, so how do you oppose them? And the safest way is Burnley plus a goal, that's what you were going on about before, Lee. This is that game writ large. But, you know, you back them at 23-20 plus a goal and you win in 90 minutes and you're gutted because you could have had 9-2.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for 9-2.
I must admit, I mean, I probably missed the boat on Barnes because he's got 3-4 now, and you know, is it too late to kind of jump on that bandwagon? 13-5. I just think there'll be goals in the game. I think, you know, the way Newcastle have been playing, you're right, they're two moderate teams, but I thought it was an entertaining game. There were some decent tackles flying in, and Newcastle were pretty pacey and seemed to be on it. I'm going to go for goals in the match. I'm going to row in with Danny Ings here, I think. I think he could be on the score sheet. He could benefit from some of Barnes' good work. He's 2-1 to score any time in the match. I'm not sure about the result, to be honest, Derek, even with the cautious Colin. Yeah. I think I'll leave it alone, but just go for a goal scorer. Ings at 2-1 in this one. Liverpool Leicester 4-9 Liverpool. Leicester 7-1. The draw 3-1 here. Again, Liverpool playing on Monday evening as we record this on Monday at lunchtime. So obviously bear any team news in mind and the result, of course. I'm expecting Liverpool to beat Swansea and maintain this decent, not amazing, but decent run of 1-9 that they're on at the minute. That would be 1-10. And it happened, Derek. You know, I mean, I should have been braver. I shouldn't have been cautious, Colin. I was going for the draw, not thinking that Leicester could, you know, jump from this losing streak to a win, and they went and did it. I mean, they didn't half ride the luck, though, to be honest with you. I mean, Hull City had some chances.
Yeah.
But they won, Leicester, and we'll have a little bit more confidence about them now. I'm starting to score a few goals again. Can they go to Liverpool and frustrate them?
No, I don't think they will. I mean, it's that old. Liverpool are 4-9. How many times have you come a cropper back in Liverpool at short odds?
Yeah.
But I've been against Leicester all season because I just look down their squad and I can't see where any inspiration is coming from. I can't see where they're going to score goals. I don't see any real Premier League quality. It was a great result against Hull. I thought Hull had turned the corner with that win against Sunderland. They've deserved a win. And God knows, I mean, Steve Bruce, I know they had a load of chances, but the fact is they lost 1-0 at home to Leicester, who've been getting pasted by everybody. I'm not going to say Leicester have turned any corners either. I could look silly here. Liverpool could get marmalised on Monday night by Swansea, and these, you know, they could be ended up 4-7 for this game. But I'll have to go for Liverpool at 4-9 at home to Leicester. Come on, if Liverpool aren't winning that, well, Rodgers has got big problems.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah, it's hard to back Liverpool at the price, isn't it? I just look at Leicester's away form, and you know, until that clean sheet at Hull, when Hull had 7 shots on target and 11. In total, they'd conceded 2 at West Ham, 2 at Villa, 3 at QPR, 2 at Southampton, 2 at Swansea, 2 at Palace. So I just think they're too leaky away from home for me. So my nap is Liverpool to beat Swansea and both teams to score from the previous podcast. Now, I'd be quite tempted to go with that again, to be honest with you. Liverpool to win and both teams to score, because I still don't think they're watertight at the back, but I do think they're starting to get more chances. That's 2-1. Liverpool to win against Leicester and both teams to score. West Ham, West Brom, 17-20, the Hammers, 23-10, the draw, and the Baggies are 7-2. West Ham were a bit more like it against Arsenal, weren't they, Derek, after we moaned about the manager's tactics against Chelsea. They did go back to what most people would think would be their best team and the most attacking team. And, I mean, you could argue they were a little unlucky to not get something out of the Arsenal game, West Ham.
They were. And I have to say, you know, they're odds on. Newcastle are odds on against Burnley, a shade of odds on. West Ham are a shade of odds on against West Brom in the big West derby. And I'd much sooner be back in West Ham than Newcastle. West Brom are so easily opposable right now. The manager, you know, he looks like a haunted man, doesn't he?
Yeah, what, 70 feet? Whenever a manager comes out and the media say to him, what does this mean to your job? And he says, that's not for me to answer, is it? It's for other people. Like, just say, I'm staying here. Be positive.
Yeah.
I'm staying put. I'm doing as good a job as I can. Don't say, oh, yeah, it's someone else's decision now. Because they'll go, oh, yeah, it's our decision.
Exactly. It's just like you don't, you know, supporters don't believe in you. And then you're saying that you don't believe in yourself either when you come out with stuff like that. Crazy. Whereas you've got the opposite with Hippo Head. Never have a man believed his own publicity so much.
Thick skinned.
But, my God, hasn't he done well? 17-2, I think it's a banker, West Ham. Absolute banker.
Yeah, I'll row in with that as well, I think, and I wouldn't mind having a little bet on Sacco to get back amongst the goals as well. Obviously, checking team news before the match, but I do like him. I think he's so lively and so bright. Carroll to score and West Ham to win is a headline offer at 3-1. Berahino, who didn't play by the way in that last game on Sunday, to score and West Brom to win 7-1. Brown Adai played and didn't do much to improve his stock. Sacco is 5-4 though, so it's pretty short. If Berahino does play though, 19-10, I said he looks like he's getting closer to a return to the goal, so that might be worth a little look. But I'm with Derek there. West Ham to win that one. Hull versus Everton, 11-5 Hull, 11-5 the draw. Everton are priced up at 13-10. Well, Everton pretty much everything we kind of said before the weekend rang true again. Defensively, they look woeful, and they look tired. They don't look to have too much spark about them either. and they were 3-1, I mean, leading after just 5 minutes, and found themselves 3-down with 20 minutes to go. 3-1 down with 20 minutes to go. But, I mean, going to Hull. I mean, Dave Callan has actually given us a nap this week. And he came in before we started recording because he's at work. He's actually working. I can't say he's being lazy this time. And he said, show me the fixtures and I'll look at the prices. And he just went, oh, Hull, no question, 11-5, great price. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Hull, I mean, it might be a decent, well, I mean, 11-5, I'd rather back the draw at 11-5, to be fair, but there's nothing about Hull's form that really, and I know they had that win at Sunderland, but there's nothing about their home form that really fills me full of confidence. They've scored one goal in the last five matches, one against Tottenham. They've drawn a blank against Southampton, against West Brom, against Swansea and against Leicester. Now, you know, none of those teams, Southampton apart, are any, you know, are pulling up trees away from home, are they?
No. They obviously put three past Sunderland, didn't they?
That was just at home, those ones. Just finding it difficult, it seems, to break through. I know they had lots of chances against Leicester, but find it difficult to hit the back of the net.
You're right about it. I mean, the draw, why Hull when you can back the draw at the same price? You can't back Everton, not the way they're playing. They look bereft of confidence and they look easy to score against, which is unusual for Everton. But I've got a feeling both sides would be quite content with the draw. You know, Hull stopped the rot for both teams. And I'm surprised Dave is so confident about
Hull. I think
he's
got racing on the brain. He's been in the studio, the racing studio, for 3.5 hours commentating on dog racing. So I think his brain's just a muddle. In fact, his bet is like dog crap. That's what I'd say. It's like a greyhound's done a poo on it. That's what it is.
Gotta be Hull. Gotta be the draw to me.
It's catching. The draw. Yeah, I think I'd go for the draw. I still think Everton have got goals in them. You know, they obviously scored two at Newcastle, and they've drawn a blank at Southampton, Man City before that. But you know, they do generally score away from home more often than not. So. I couldn't have Everton at the price at 13-10, but I think Hull might finally get a goal. That run can't go on forever, and with the chances they had, sooner or later, and I suppose that man Jelovic will be itching to get a goal, won't he, against his former club and all that sort of stuff. So over 2.5 goals at 23-20, I'll go for against judgment, but I quite like the price, to be honest. Next up, we'll have a look at the penultimate game on the coupon for us, Southampton versus Arsenal, 2-1 the Saints, 2-1 the draw, 6-4 the price for Arsenal, identical prices to QPR, Swansea. So are Arsenal as likely to win at Southampton as Swansea are at QPR? It's not an easy comparison, actually, Derek. Some of these kind of stand out, don't they?
They do.
I don't think this one's as an easier comparison as that other one.
No, it isn't, actually. Southampton were quite impressive against Chelsea at the weekend. Yeah. Defensively anyway. Didn't see too much of them going forward. I'm not sure about the guy up front, Pele, is it? But Arsenal keep getting results now, aren't they? That's a decent result for them out against West Ham. I'm tempted with the 6-4 Arsenal. You know, I've got a feeling Southampton will come out a bit more against them. They'll get more of the play, and that will leave gaps. Arsenal fans were getting hot under the collar about the midfield defensive partnership. The holding roles for Flamini and Coquelin doesn't send shivers through opposing teams, does it? But, you know, I've opposed Southampton every time they've played one of the top teams this season. And generally it's paid off. Didn't at the weekend, obviously. But I'm going to go for Arsenal at 6-4. No, I have to say it's not the most confident bet, Lee. You can see that too.
Yeah, it is a tricky one. I just think, you know, Southampton had 39% possession at home to Chelsea when they managed to get over the draw. And I can see them doing the same thing. They're not afraid just to give the other team possession at home and then try and nick the ball off them. I'm gonna go for low on the goals here again. I think I just think that when they played at Arsenal just before Christmas, they were beaten 1-0, if you remember. But they made all the subs, and then they have a man sent off for an injury. I can't remember what it was now.
That's right. Yeah.
And they ended up losing 1-0, but they were very unlucky to lose that game. And I think they'll use that same tactic, but at home this time. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 0-0 or or just a 1-0 win. So under 2.5, it's only 10-11. It's a pick 'em, that over 2.5, under 2.5. If you wanted a bit more value, the under 1.5 is 5-2, which is quite a big price for. It's usually around the just above the 2-1 mark. That one. The final game that we shall look at is the match between Aston Villa and Crystal Palace. Save the best till last. Villa 7-5, 21-10. The draw and 21-10. Crystal Palace. We've already mentioned the management situation didn't do them any harm, actually, did it? Getting rid of Warnock. Got a draw at QPR, which every point obviously crucial for them. They're in the bottom three on 16 points. Crystal Palace. Villa. No win now since beating Leicester. So I think we pretty much almost called the stop of the rot, and now the kind of rot set in a little bit again, Derek, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Don't seem to be able to get themselves going again. And it's the same old thing with Villa. It's the goals that dry up, and then they can't seem to score. They've scored one goal in the last four matches. That was the goal at home to Man United when Benteke got it. Why will Palace do anything different to what they did at QPR? Will they just go? They'll just go for the 0-0, won't they?
They were a bit unlucky as well, though. They had some good chances. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about Palace. I've been surprised how poorly they've been doing. Maybe they had Warnock had to go because they've got match winners in their team. You know, there aren't too many teams at the bottom who've got that.
True.
I'm always prepared to oppose Villa when they're at home. You're right. They don't score goals. One goal in the last four. Did well with 10 men, has to be said, against Sunderland at the weekend. But I don't know. I think this could be a different Palace now, under Keith Millen, until they get whoever it's going to be, possibly Pardew. I've got a sneaking fancy for an away win here.
Yeah, interesting one. I'd be looking at the low on the goals again, but it's 4-7 under 2.5 here, so it's a little bit short. Under 1.5, it's 2-1, so they've maintained that usual price there. Wouldn't put anyone off that with the lack of goals. Villa have, like I say, they're not scoring goals, and Palace have only scored one goal in the last five away matches as well. That was the goal at Swansea, so under 1.5 maybe to have a look at that one, but I'm not too taken with the match. To draw at 21-10, I suppose is the standout price. So DK Naptime, DK is going for Hull.
Yeah, that's a treble knackered then.
11-5. I've struggled to pick a nap in this lot, I must admit.
Yeah. Do you want to go before me? Because I always seem to nip in before you.
That's just making me pick a bet that I don't really want to pick. I will go for under 2.5 goals in the Southampton Arsenal game. I think it'll be some tired legs on both sides,
yeah.
And I think Southampton have figured out a way of stopping the better teams from doing it, playing their normal free flowing football. So under 2.5 at 10-11 for me.
Mm-hmm. I've got 4 or 5 I fancy equally. You know, but nothing like, you know, when you think, oh, that's a real great bet. None of them this week, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. QPR home to Swansea, possibly Stoke home to Man United, 3-1. I like the look of that. Tottenham even 7-2 home to Chelsea. I like the look of that. You know, I think I'll go for Stoke to beat Man United, 3-1.
Stoke 3-1 to beat Man U. Thanks, Derek.
That's a pleasure, Lee.
Have a great new year, and we'll see you on the other side.
Fantastic.
Cheers, bud. Thanks, mate. Later. Bye. Yeah, thanks to Derek for his thoughts on those matches. My mind is just awash with scores and home and away and shots on target and odds. They could have put any odds on this list of 10 fixtures and I would have believed them. But good luck with your bets. Make sure you check out inplayradio.co.uk because they'll be covering every kick of the New Year's Day Premier League programme live from noon. It's inplayradio.co.uk. Three guys in the studio, if you've never heard it before. Presenter, two pundits, and we'll have someone on the darts as well because it's a big day in the world of the PDC World Championships. And they give you all the latest betting commentaries on every single match in the UK and abroad as well with in-play tips galore there. So if you've never listened to it, check it out. You can also follow them on Twitter at Will Hill in Play. We'll be back for the FA Cup third round podcast on Friday. In the meantime, if you're having a bet on any of the matches that we've discussed today, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.